Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, it's Josh Rutledge, your co-host for Fearscape Paranormal Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to support us more, please head over to our website, fearscapepodcast.com. There you can click on store and browse some really awesome t-shirts and maybe pick a couple up, or even go to our Patreon page and see how you can support us monthly. We love bringing you awesome content just as much as you like listening to it. Enjoy the show.
The following program is presented for entertainment purposes. WCHQ does not necessarily endorse the ideas presented.
Fearscape is a program that explores the legends and lore around many creepy and scary things. Information is researched and presented in an entertainment fashion and is presented based off of what we found. Legends have a way of changing over time, so...
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Fearscape here on 100.9 FM WCHQ and the Destination Nation Network. Whoo, I am Stefan, your host, joined as always by my co-host, Josh. How's it going today?
It's going pretty well.
It is going pretty well. We had a really great Halloween. Super pumped about that. Halloween is always my favorite time of year. But now we are officially moving into like deep fall and winter and... just all kinds of craziness.
All of the veil. The veil is open.
And speaking of the veil, we may have mentioned it, but the two of us plus host of CHQ's Country Roots, Naoma, she came with us. The three of us and two other people went and did a ghost hunt at a local establishment here in Louisville called The Bardstown over on 1801 Bardstown Road. It's a Shakespeare-themed pub and theater. In fact, as an improviser, I've been performing there since it opened. And the owner, Doug Shetty, gave us the opportunity to do a ghost hunt there. And so we're going to be talking about that today. So
some great experiences there.
Yeah. So, so hold on to your blankies there for that one. But before we get into that, we want to get into a little bit of spooky news. All right. It has been a crazy couple weeks for spooky news because everybody and their mother is doing spooky news.
Oh, yeah.
And so many like things on haunted houses. We don't need that. We're looking for stuff that's, you know, a little more than just the, hey, come visit the haunted house. Okay, so some of you guys know that recently Edward Snowden, who is, you know, the guy that released all
the WikiLeaks guy, yeah, right?
No, WikiLeaks is... Jean Berger, whatever his name is,
but, the Swedish chef.
Yeah,
okay.
he did.
Something
release. He was the CIA guy that released all that information. Well, there's a news story that's come out because he's written a book, and so the news story here from CNN.com says Edward Snowden searched the CIA's networks for proof that aliens exist. And so that was one of the things that he did while he was getting all the information to put out there. So here's the story. It says, PSA for all the Area 51 stormers, chemtrail believers, and climate change deniers. Edward Snowden has searched the depths of the U.S. intelligence networks and can report the conspiracy theories are not true. As a former employee of the CIA and the contractor for the National Security Agency, Snowden had access to some of the nation's most closely held secrets. And like any curious mind with access to the CIA's version of Google might do, he went in search of answers to some of society's most pressing questions. As it turns out, the U.S. government is not aware of any intelligent extraterrestrial life, he says. Now, I don't know how I feel about that since the Navy just came out themselves.
Right.
Right, but this is just the CIA.
Maybe they've got it in a folder, marked, high school pictures so that nobody finds it, right?
Right. Or it was above his, even the security level he went. But anyways, he says, for the record, as far as I could tell, aliens have never contacted Earth, or at least they haven't contacted U.S. intelligence. This all comes from Snowden's memoir, Permanent Record. He did also say that the moon landing did, in fact, occur. He says, in case you were wondering, yes, man really did land on the moon. Climate change is real, and chemtrails are not a thing.
Does it say anything about flat earthers? I don't know.
No, nothing on there. The NSA whistleblower addressed the conspiracies on an episode of the Joe Rogan Experience, released Wednesday, saying that there's no evidence of aliens or chemtrails and the like. He says, I know, Joe, I know you want there to be aliens. I know Neil deGrasse Tyson badly wants there to be aliens, and there probably are, right? But the idea that we're hiding them, if we are hiding them, I had ridiculous access to the networks of the NSA, the CIA, the military, and all these groups. I couldn't find anything. So if it's hidden and it could be hidden, it's hidden really damn well, even from the people who are on the inside.
I mean, that would make sense, right? I mean, you would want to make that circle of people who know has to be really small.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's going to get out.
Exactly. It goes on to say, to be fair, the man revealed a massive program of surveillance run by the U.S. government and is now living in exile in Moscow. If the U.S. government was keeping secrets about aliens and UFOs in Area 51 or elsewhere, surely Snowden would have been the one to find out. So why are people on the internet so keen to believe in conspiracy theories? That's a question Snowden does have the answer to. He says, everybody wants to believe in conspiracy theories because it helps them make sense of life. It helps us believe that someone is in control, that someone is calling the shots.
I guess it gets back to the whole, why do a lot of people believe in religion and higher power and everything else, is there's somebody else in control.
Right, exactly.
So a conspiracy theorist... That's their religion.
Yeah.
Conspiracy theories.
I mean, here's the thing. I already think that it's much bigger access than he even had class to, because trust me, Donald Trump would have told us all in 5 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
And he would have been
this
like,
is huge.
I've met this ship. I went on the ship. It was huge. I'm putting a Trump tower in the ship.
You'll never believe it. They have golden toilets
on
the spaceship.
Yeah, so I mean, that's one thing I already knew. I mean, it's like, it's got to be, I've always believed kind of in that shadow government, that higher than the level of president stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like you have to. I mean, you've got random people coming into this office every 4 to 8 years. Like,
right.
There's got to be someone else in control.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
The Illuminati, Joe Rogan. It's the Illuminati. But, yeah. Any more comments on that?
Nope.
Yeah, nope. I don't believe you. Snowden.
Or
Snowden. Who knows? He could have been like, the aliens were like, listen, bro.
Yeah.
Don't say anything.
We'll cut you in. Like, we'll give you France if
we will show you exactly what happened in Tunguska, since you're in Russia and can actually go there. We'll give you that. Just don't say anything. But yeah. Anyways, that was spooky news. All right, so we are going to forego creepy ketchup.
Oh yeah,
because
it's all about.
Because
nice topic.
We not only are we going to be talking about some of the history of the Bordstown and things like that, but we're going to share our experience there and the things that we experienced.
Yep.
Right. So but for Brad's sake, I'm still going to play the song. Cue the creepy ketchup music.
Creepy ketchup. Creepy ketchup. Creepy ketchup. Creepy ketchup. Y'all, it's creepy.
Suck it, Brad. yeah, so before we move on, I do want to give a big thanks to Angie Fenton and WHAS 11 and Great Day Live. They had us on there, so we actually got to talk about this show coming up, as well as our next show with Rob Lee that'll be happening. So big shout out to them. They gave us a segment on there, of course, during Halloween week.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. It was great fun.
If you didn't get a chance to see that, go check out our Facebook page at, facebook.com/FearscapePod. Go check it out and, see the smiling, beautiful faces of
That's
your
right.
hosts. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Put a face to the voice.
Put a face to the voice. So we went to the Bardstown. This is, like I said, 1801 Bardstown Road. I'm going to plug the heck out of it for Doug Shuddy. He's a great guy. Absolutely super cool. Invited us to come there without question.
Yep.
When we asked him. We were looking for a place to do a ghost hunt for Halloween, and he hooked us up. without question. We got Naoma was there, her husband Mitch, and their friend Clint, who's now our friend.
Yep.
We had a really great time, and yeah, this place is a Shakespeare pub. It's super cool. So you got downstairs, it's got a bar area, restaurant. There's a side area where there's a lounge and tables. And then there's an entire upstairs that's a theater, as well as a living space for the owner. We didn't go into his living space, but, you know, so that's there, as well as an attic and two basements. So
yeah, I mean, it was awesome that he let us in there. I mean, had some great experiences there. And, you know, thanks, Doug. It was awesome.
Yeah. Well, let's get it talking a little bit about this area and the building itself.
Yeah. So I thought it would be good to give some context. And so let's go back and talk about where the Bardstown building is, the area that it exists in, and kind of the history there. So for those who may not know, the Bardstown exists in the area of Louisville called the Highlands.
Right, and it's on Bardstown Road, which is where the moniker comes from.
Right.
Because this road leads to Bardstown, Kentucky.
Correct.
And so he named it the Bardstown because he's an actor and Shakespeare guy.
Well,
so.
Bard being, exactly. It works. Shakespeare.
Yeah, I love it. I think it's a great idea. It's so great. Yeah, it sits in an area of Louisville called the Highlands. It's cool.
Yep. So for those who may drive into the Highlands, you may not think, well, this is not very high. But in the 1700s, it was, because there was all the thing that was out there was plantation space. And so to get from downtown Louisville area into that area of town was a quite a big step up in the terrain. So that's why it was dubbed the Highlands, because you have to remember Louisville is in a valley. So everything around Louisville is not in a valley.
Yeah, I mean, just come up from Cherokee Park and you'll see.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just, you know, if you're ever on a really clear day on Bardstown Road out closer to, like, Hurstbourne Lane area, you can see downtown, and you're almost at the same level as most of the buildings in downtown.
Yeah, I mean, this whole area was hilly. I mean, you look at Phoenix Hill area. Right at Phoenix Hill on Baxter, you can really see it dip down.
Yeah.
Like, that's where you can definitely start to see
down. You know, all those hills out around past the airport, Iroquois Park, all that kind of good stuff. So, I mean, yeah, it's definitely definitely a lower area. And so, again, in the 1700s and the 1800s, when they started to kind of expand out from the downtown Louisville area, they started to build up the Highlands area. Now, the plantation that existed here originally was kind of bought out by an individual, and they got into the trolley car business. And so a lot of people don't realize that Bardstown Road used to have the term Douglas Loop comes from the fact that there was a trolley that ran down Bardstown Road up to Douglas Boulevard and then looped around.
I did not know
and
that.
Went back downtown.
I have always wondered.
So that's what it was.
Yeah, I've definitely seen a lot of pictures. There's a really great Facebook page. I think it's called Louisville Then and Now. And he finds old pictures and then tries to take the picture exactly in the same spot, in the same angle and everything to show you what it looks like now. But yeah, like, there are so many great old trolley pictures down Bardstown Road.
So the building or buildings actually that make up the Bardstown were actually not built until around the 1900s to 1930s era. And that's the best that I could find for when the area of town that is Bonnie Castle and Douglas, I can't think of it. It's Douglas something hyphenated, but that's where the Bardstown kind of sits.
Yeah. Deer and, Park, I think is the area too.
Yeah, I believe
pretty close to Deer Park.
So that whole area was really kind of built out, around the 1900s to 1930s era. Can't nail down exactly when the two buildings that are now kind of one retail space.
Without digging into city records.
You know, I didn't want to go down to the courthouse or the library and kind of dig through things, although it would be really neat to find out.
Yeah.
But yeah, so those things were kind of erected, let's say, at that point in time. And like a lot of buildings in that period, the first level was retail space, and the second level was living space. Mm-hmm. And probably a lot of times, whoever owned or operated the retail space on the first level lived in the upstairs living space.
Unless you were H.H. Holmes, and then he leased out it to other people so that he could use that money to come in to build his secret traps.
Right, exactly. So we know that based on some of the other folks that went and did the hunt with us, some of the research that they found that at least one of the buildings was the retail space was used as a pharmacy.
Yes.
We know that the owner, Doug, has spoken with a couple of the older gentlemen, now older, who lived in some of the upstairs living space at some point in time when it was a pharmacy. But we don't know exactly when all of that took place. Just know that it was sometime in the
early 1900s. Yeah.
So that's kind of some of the history. And I think, based on what other people have provided, that if you go to the Bardstown, what is now the bar area of the Bardstown is where the pharmacy was.
Right. Yeah, because the building was split, and so...
Yeah, so that was some of the, you know, we were there talking that night. Mm-hmm. I think maybe Naoma may have said that at some point in time, when the buildings were separated, the grassy space in between them might have been used
as a graveyard.
For
I heard
members.
That as well from different people there. It was used as like a family burial plot. Yeah. And it could have been before the buildings were put there, too.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure.
It's very possible.
But, yeah, absolutely that space was. And it is. It's a chilling space.
Yeah.
Like, just anywhere where that empty space used to be, no matter what floor you're on, it felt.
And even for someone who's not really claustrophobic, it still mm-hmm. just felt.
Yeah, closed in.
Yeah.
For sure.
So what's really interesting... Or I think is interesting, and I was talking with someone else today about this episode coming up, and was telling them, you know, about the graveyard and things, and they said, well, wouldn't they have just been put in a community graveyard? And so it's really interesting to realize that family graveyards, even in a city-type setting, were still pretty commonplace in the early 1900s. You know, there are actually places all over... Louisville Zoo actually has a graveyard in the middle of the zoo because that land...
So does Kings Island. Kings Island has one, too. And literally right around the corner from where I live, there's like a small... I mean, it's small. It's got like maybe eight gravestones, but it's right there on the corner right next to the gas station.
And so, you know, it's either, you know, probably that... And I didn't really do a lot of research into why people don't get moved, but I would mm-hmm. assume it's either... They can't get permission from the family or the estate to move the graves, or there's no space in a community graveyard because that costs money.
Yeah, or even then, some people just don't want to because they know it's disrespectful to move, and so they won't. They'll leave it there.
Right. So
I mean, we've all watched Poltergeist.
The gate.
But even then, a lot of times they'll say they move things and that they didn't.
Right. I mean, I think one of the... times that when Steven Stanek was on, he was talking about the them laying the conduit or whatever up in New York, and they came across a Native American body that was wrapped around a pipe.
Yeah.
And obviously they didn't move the first time around.
Yep.
So
And I mean, I told you, like growing up in Toledo, we used to find coffin handles because it's where the old Toledo Cemetery used to be until they expanded. And before then, it was a Native American burial ground as well, which is why they thought it was perfect ground to bury in.
Yeah.
And so, we used to find stuff, and we used to wonder all the time. And just because a body was moved, let's play this game, just because a body was moved doesn't mean the spirit moved.
Right.
You know, the spirit doesn't always follow the body.
Right.
So, you know, those spirits could still hang loose, man.
Yeah. Especially if they're attached to a place rather than a thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
So... But, yeah, so that's a little bit of the history of the area where the Bardstown is and then what we could dig up on the actual buildings of the Bardstown. So now let's jump into that night.
You're pumped, dude.
I am pumped.
You're pumped. So here's Josh, who is the skeptic that wants to believe and had a revelation.
Oh, yeah. It was
found the ghost Jesus.
It was the most... wouldn't that be the Holy Ghost? I don't know.
Yes. We'll have to ask our friend.
But it was the most eye-opening experience that I've ever had.
And it's interesting for me because I've done these a few times, and it was a little less than what I'm used to. So I'm excited for you to get somewhere where it just knocks you backwards.
Yeah. So and I'm interested to hear because we didn't do a lot of talking that night, or at 5 o'clock in the morning when we finally went home. But I'm interested to hear, you know, like your, so I guess your experience during.
Yeah, and I'm excited. I hope Naoma shows up because she, you know, she does her live show while we're recording. So I'm hoping she shows up. We can grab her for a few seconds.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. So I guess let's talk about some of the, I guess, pre-work that we did.
Yeah, so we did some pre-work. So we all did some research. We all talked to Shetty, and he gave us some stories. Now, some of the thing. So first of all, let's just tell you my experiences, okay? I've been performing there for 9-10 years. And throughout that time, I mean, and I've mentioned this on past shows, I've seen a man in all gray, like a gray suit with a gray rain jacket on and hat and glasses, looked very much like Clark Kent from the old Superman TV show. Standing on the stage, I turned, there's no one there, it was out of the corner of my eye. I've seen the door to the green room while I'm sitting backstage, like, unlatch, open up, and then I was like, whoa, 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 and then it closes and it latches itself because you have to turn it to latch it. You know, I've seen that. I've seen a woman in there, which is the classic ghost that everyone sees, is this woman from the 1800s, which we will get to because I'm pretty sure we had a pretty great experience with her. And then Doug himself believes there are multiple ghosts there, and one of them is a trickster. He has had many things, and he has caught a lot of stuff on camera, things moving. He's had just pipes just pull, like not drop, but pull to the left and then drop, like his big heating and cooling pipes.
HVAC pipe.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen the video where it just pulled to the left and then dropped.
That's like, crazy.
Yeah. You know, just so much stuff. And he has had. And one day we'll get him on here and just have him tell stories.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's where he's been in bed. He's been held down. I mean, just everything that you can think of.
Right.
He's there by himself so much. But he's caught so much. But I mean, there's one where we've seen the woman in the video, like his security cam. Like you can make it out. I mean, it is obviously this woman in this old timey dress. I mean, just so much stuff. But he's had so much stuff go wrong there, like that. Seems supernatural in nature, that there was no way this could have happened. Repair people would come and say, did somebody pull this? Did someone do this? You know,
you need to file the police report.
Constantly, constantly he's had this happen to him. So, but yeah, so we did some research and.
Well, and I think we got into when we all kind of first arrived, you know, you lit some candles. I think we had some.
Oh, yeah. I read some tarot. Because we had to wait a little bit because we didn't want to do this hunt with people there.
Right.
So we had access to the theater after the last show, but there was still karaoke going on downstairs. So we did stuff where we didn't really have to record.
Right. Because, you know, at the end of the day, whatever evidence we find, we didn't want someone to come along and say, well, you only. That sounds like somebody singing, you know.
Sweet child of mine.
Britney Spears or something downstairs in the basement, right?
So. Right, so we did a lot. So we set up a Ouija board, but we didn't use it. Not yet, anyways. And then we set up my tarot reading. Josh, you'd never had a tarot reading before. So how was that for you?
That was a really cool experience. It really opened my eyes. I mean, I went home and talked to my wife about it,
mm-hmm.
and she was like, well, but anyway, Stefan knows you. And like, well, I mean, I asked the same question. You know, what if you didn't know me? You know, would it be the same? So it was really interesting to have that done. So.
Yeah, and, you know, I get that a lot. You know, friends are the most least trustworthy because we know. But to me, I love reading friends because I can give you an even better reading.
Right.
Because I know you and I can flesh out things. Because, you know, we had guys' night with our friend Thorny where we hung out together. Well, the next day I did a tarot party for a bunch of people, and I didn't know any of them but one person, and I was tearing through these reading, people crying, people, you know, just going through. So it's like, I don't know you.
Yeah.
how can I do this?
Don't know you from Adam.
You know, but to me, it's just that the spirits, my guardians or whatever, are using the cards as a way for me to tell their story to them.
Yeah.
So
I'll just say that from the experience that I had at the Bardstown, I have all new let's say more developed theories around some of the things that we talk about on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. So we were there. We lit some sage and some incense and tried to cleanse the space because we wanted a good time, not angry ghosts,
right.
Not Zach Bagans, bleh, trying to antagonize ghosts. Now he's blind in one eye for the same reason. And I don't want to do all that stuff.
No.
And so we were trying to be kind. And, you know, Naoma and Clint and those guys had done some research as well. And we found out, you know, Naoma was really good about talking to Doug about stuff. And, you know, we found out about the woman, which we're pretty sure her name was Mary. And so we talked a lot about her. You know, Shetty was always like, oh, well, you know, she doesn't seem as mean or anything, but she's definitely around a lot. My favorite part, though, is before we get going, because he knew we were just kind of killing time, right? He's like, do you guys want access to the attic?
Yeah.
And we all go, there's an attic?
Yeah. That attic was...
I've been performing there for 9 years, dude. I never knew there was an attic. And there's a doorway, and I guess I just never questioned it. And there was this massive, massive
attic. Well, and it even had two parts. Like
two parts. It went to both buildings.
Or you could climb through a crawl space to get to the other side of the attic.
Yeah, and there, you know, it's your classic attic. There's stuff everywhere, and it's tall. It's really, really, really tall, which was really cool. So it was big and open. And so we all took turns and did, went up there and just, you know, turned off the lights. Well, we didn't turn off the lights at first.
No, we took some pictures.
Yeah.
I think Clint maybe got a picture with an orb in it.
Yeah.
A couple things like that. But then we decided to move over to some EVP. And for those who may not know, EVP is electronic voice phenomena. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I thought. So, it's basically where you turn on some type of voice recorder. You ask questions, and you let, if anything is answering, you may not be able to hear it, but the voice recorder may pick up on it.
Right, and we tried using a ghost box as well as, you know, listening back. We've got an app that was suggested to us by some ghost hunters that pulls words sometimes, and so that was pretty interesting. We got some interesting stuff that kind of fleshed out the history that we knew, so that was very interesting. It was creepy, and then we also went into the green room. So, because the green room was away from the noise, too. So we go into the green room, and Clint and Naoma went upstairs to the attic. They were going to... Naoma had this whole plan with Clint, because she thought that he was a negator. Like, he would just, like, negate any energy. And I'm like, neutral, hey, he's a nice guy.
Right.
He's a nice guy.
Wants to be called neutral.
Yeah, no, except for Switzerland. They will live by that.
Right.
We go into the green room, which is one of my... you know, favorite spots, because I spend a lot of time in there. And we turn off all the lights, man, and you and I are just hanging in there, and then all of a sudden, noise just happens in the back corner.
Yeah, it's like something's rattling.
Rattling and moving, and, like, it was nuts. There was no wind blowing in there. Like,
I think we had actually, at that point in time, we had turned up the air, so the furnace and everything would kick off. We wouldn't have that bothering anything. Yep. So
I mean, it was dead in there. Whether the fan wasn't on.
No.
And then it, like, started moving. The noise started moving closer to me.
Yeah. Well, I think you were, like, getting kind of a sense maybe that there was something else in there.
Yeah.
And we were using that that app you were talking about that kind of suggests words. And the word came up. It was, like, ignore.
Yeah, ignore him.
Yeah. So it's like there was two things in there.
Yeah.
And it, something we were talking to.
And so then it felt, because then we both felt like we saw, like, a black figure in that back corner that did not feel nice.
Right.
And so we were like, just no. And the same thing, Naoma and I went up to the attic, and her and I both were like, almost at the exact same time, we both go, there's a kid in here. You know, both Naoma and I both claim to be psychic a little bit, Naoma more so than me, but I mean, her and I were feeling things at the same time, and literally we're both like, there's a kid, and she goes, it's got red eyes, and I was like, yes, it does. And we did not feel good about this kid in any way, shape, or form. And, like, it definitely felt like it was indeed probably the trickster spirit at first. Like, that's what we felt like. You know, because we also felt that woman was there as well.
Yeah.
This Mary. And, you know, between our psychic intuition and, you know, the words app and things like that, we kind of got this idea that she felt responsible for this kid.
Yeah.
Maybe it was her kid. We didn't know.
Yeah.
Like, we just didn't know. The only thing we knew is that Doug had told us that there was an assault that took place up there. In the early days, there was an assault, and it was a woman, and she was more than likely murdered. And, you know, and so that's who we think that it was.
Yeah.
You know, and what if she was pregnant? Right?
Well, and I think the later on experience probably maybe solidifies that a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, just between that room and then the attic, I mean, just so much stuff.
Well, we were up in the attic, just you and I.
Yeah.
And we were doing, you know, we traded places with Naomi and Clint, and I just, I hardly couldn't be up there in pitch black. I mean, it was bothering me. So, I just I kind of like internally focused and said, you know, I'm just this ray of light. Anything that comes near me, I'm a ray of light. Mm-hmm. And I think you had said something about you didn't feel as much when you were up there with me like you were when you were up there with Naomi.
Yeah.
So I wondered if, you know, my pulsing light from
right, and that's very possible. And you had said something to me about it, and I was like, turn it down. You know, because you were putting out white light to try to heal, and I'm like, well, that also can push things away. Right. So it's like, let's turn it down for right now and see what happens. Yep. Let's shield. And I know listeners were getting to a lot of psychic new age things, but bear with us.
Yeah.
I'm a big believer in this stuff, and so is Naomi. And so it's like, you know, let's shield. Let's listen. None of the stuff that I recorded, I didn't get anything.
Yeah, I went back and listened to all the things that I recorded, and I didn't get anything either.
Clint got something on there, and he still has a lot of footage he's got to go through, because he not only did he audio record, but he also video recorded, and Naomi did as well. And so they've been going through stuff as well. They found some stuff. I mean, we've got Clint saying something. I don't remember what he said, but he was like, do you guys remember saying that? We were like, no, not at all.
Yeah, I mean, it was
and it seemed out of place, and it almost like he's talking and then it seems like he's in a different spot and then back to himself.
Right. Yeah.
So
it definitely is, from my listening to it, it's definitely a different interaction there.
Right. So. And so I'm gonna play that for you right now.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, it's short, it's sweet. I mean, take it with a grain of salt, whatever.
Right.
But to us, it seemed very interesting.
Yeah.
We were there, and we knew what was going on and things that were said and stuff like that. So
I guess from there, we all just kind of moseyed back out into the theater area, decided, you know, we got a drink. And then I think you sat down in front of the Ouija board. Naomi was kind of standing off to your side, and I was sitting there playing with it. We had some dowsing rods, so I was sitting there.
Oh,
like,
yeah, I forgot. Naomi brought dowsing rods.
Like, how do these work? And I was just, you know, was kind of messing with them and stuff. And so I'm sitting there holding, you know, out in front of me these dowsing rods, and you're sitting at the Ouija board.
And don't forget the monster that was growling in the background.
Oh, yeah.
His name is Mitch. It's Naomi's husband, who fell asleep within the first 30
yeah,
minutes
the wildebeest.
Of us being there. Yeah. Holler to Mitch. Holla. So you had the dowel rods going on, and Naomi's like, she's here.
Yeah.
And she's like, someone else is here too, and I don't get a good vibe from him. We established that it wasn't the kid, because we started to feel like that the kid actually wasn't the bad one. It was being used.
Yep.
And this is something that's in movies a lot now, which is spirits taking over spirits,
right.
Like in Conjuring 2.
Well, the whole the Smurl family haunting, right?
Yeah.
You have the demon or whatever using the energy
spirit.
From the other spirits.
Right. So. And so I was just sitting down at the Ouija board face on, and I felt... We're getting into weird territory now. Okay, skeptics, I know. But I felt something sit in me, like... And take control of my hands. Like, I was going along for the ride.
Yeah, I mean, at one point in time, I looked up, and you were just like, it was almost like you were spasming with your hands on the board.
It was
moving
so fast. Yeah. So I've never in my life done Ouija by myself. Not once, not ever, ever, ever. And yes, to all you listening, I protected the Ouija board. I did spell work. I always take care of everything because I don't like evil spirits catching on. But I immediately knew that it was Mary. And she confirmed that her name was Mary. And she's moving really fast. And you could tell she's scared. And I'm speaking through Naomi as well. Like, she's speaking to Naomi because Naomi can feel her emotions. I can feel her emotions. But like I said... All I could do was move my eyes and look and see and try to read what was going on.
Right. So, you know, I think you all had asked, like, you know, is your name Mary? And yes. And then, you know, at one point in time, a question had come up. She said, or Naomi asked, about crossing over, and she said she couldn't.
Yeah, because the person who assaulted her...
Was there,
and he's the one that always held her there.
Right.
And
like at one point in time, it was over and over again. Help me now.
Well, yeah, because she got to a point. She's like, okay, we'll do it now, because Naomi was like working against this other entity that's there, who was referred to as Jim. and or James, it came up James or Jim, and she's like, do it now, help me now, help me now, help, like over and over and over.
It was
over
like there was like
over.
A window of opportunity. Yeah. And so I'm sitting here in this chair and I'm holding these rods, and they just like cross in front of me.
Yep.
And so I'm like, hey, what does this mean? And Naomi said, usually means there's a positive energy there or something. So at the time that this happens, I'm thinking, I'm internalizing again that positive white light.
Yep.
And on the board, it says Josh Light.
Yeah. It literally says Josh Light. And like she's like, do it now, do it now, do it now. And so Naomi begins sending, and I'm doing my best to welcome her and push her to the light as well as trying to fight off this Jim character who I'm trying to shield because I don't want him getting into me. I don't want him getting into you, getting into Naomi or the growly Mitch or Clint. Like, and so we're just going, man. And I mean, there's a way more. It's like my brain is so lost on this. I'm like, I wish Clint or Mitch had been up to videotape it.
To videotape it. Yeah. I know. That's what
I don't think any of it got videotaped.
So, I, you know, just for listeners to know, I wear a watch that tracks my heart rate. So, at one point in time, she said something about, you know, Josh Light or something. And so I got a chill, a shake. I like just rushed over my body. And after the fact, I went back and looked. At that exact moment when that happened, I remember looking at my watch. My heart rate had spiked up to like 145.
Whew.
So, so I've got that going on, and so then it calms down, and then we continue to talk some more. And I think at one point in time, she said she feared for us because he was there.
Yeah.
So then I think for me, I start thinking about sending the white light out, repulsing this. Bad guy away. But still giving a window opportunity for Mary to cross.
Yeah, I felt her leave me. Like, I dropped. Like, my body just dropped. Like, I literally felt her leave me and rush, you know, and it's almost like you were this subway train straight up, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was interesting, man, and she said a lot of other stuff. She had said her last name was Sturgeon.
Yep.
You know, and then she gave us a date.
3/12/19.
And so we were like, was that when she was born?
Right.
Is that when she died? Was that something that happened this past year? You know, we're in 19 right now.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, and I think, you know, if you take the whole 1919 mm-hmm. and you put that with when the houses were, you know, kind of constructed in that era, then it kind of fits that maybe that's where, you know, she could have died during, you know, it may not have been built. She could have died during, like, it was still a construction zone or whatever.
Right, and we think that there was no death record of her, because we actually found a number of Mary Sturgeons in the area that was either born around that time or, you know, 10, 20 years before. But, yeah, I mean, if she was a woman, and we kept getting this idea that she was a prostitute, possibly, and if she was a woman of the night, there would have been no records. No one would have been looking for her if this man killed her and threw her in the river.
I mean, people probably would have just said she moved on to the next town or whatever.
Yeah,
the case
whatever. Yeah. And so we don't know, but I mean, we definitely found some Mary Sturgeons.
Various spellings of the name as well.
Yeah,
there's just quite a bit in the area.
It was really interesting, and it was. I've never really done that. That's never really, like I said, happened to me before. I've never. Oh, what's it called? Trance work's not the right word. But yeah, it's not possession either. It's in between there.
Yeah.
I can't think of what it is. But
it's like ghost.
Yes. That's never happened to me before. I mean, I was not in control. Like, it was the craziest thing that has ever happened to me. And it was just intense, man. And Naomi was intense. I mean, there was like this triangle.
Right.
It was like this Bermuda Triangle between the three of us. That was
but
just,
I mean, you know, at one point in time, I think after she talked some more, she gave us some more information. She said something about, I'm gone or something. I'm leaving or something like that.
Yeah.
And at that moment in time, again, my heart rate spiked up and I got that cold rush over me. Again, it spiked up to like 147, 148. And then it was just like, you know, you were done, Naomi was done, everybody was like, let's take a break. And
yeah, we took a break and just chilled and listened to music yeah. for a little bit.
But I mean, that was the craziest thing that I've ever had happen to me, and it really did open my my third eye, so to speak,
yeah.
around this kind of stuff. And I would say that I'm probably less a skeptic today than I was before.
Yeah, it's amazing what'll happen when you're there.
And honestly, it's almost like a little bit of an adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
I want more. Like, yeah. I want to do it again.
Sound
again.
Like Anakin. I want more. But yeah, it was nuts, man. And so that was definitely the most intense part.
Yeah.
And so not to waste that, you know, but that we're just telling it chronologically.
Right.
So we chilled out and we just talked about that for a little while.
Yeah.
And, you know, Clint was dead too, man. Like, you could tell.
Yeah.
Now, granted, he was also tired, but, like, so at that point, the three of us, the triumvirate, the Holy Trinity here, we decide, all right, everybody's been gone. Let's head downstairs.
Let's go downstairs.
Because, you
yeah.
know, like I said, Doug Shuddy gave us the entire run of the entire place
right.
besides his living space. And so we head downstairs, and I believe Naomi said, let's do the lounge area first, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so we go hang out in the lounge area. She felt something in there. I didn't feel something as much, but it definitely... I mean, that whole place, everywhere you went, you
yeah.
just felt something. I mean, for sure.
The is that the lounge area is where the stage, the smaller
small stage? Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, yeah, I mean, we, you know, it felt like something in there. I got to be honest, though, my thoughts in there were still on what happened upstairs.
Yeah, and maybe that's why. That's all I was thinking about, too. Even the Words app was not helpful. Nothing was really
yeah.
happening.
You know, I think we went over, went down into the kitchen. That was number one, just a really neat space.
Yeah, really cool space. I tell you what, I'd never been down to the kitchen, and it was very different than what I imagined.
It was just from a historical point of view, to think about what that kitchen likely looked like in the 1930s
oh,
when it was
right.
built.
Yeah.
You know, we think we may have identified like where the coal chute was and all
yeah,
that kind
and
of
we
stuff.
We were like, oh man, I wonder if this had anything to do with Prohibition.
Oh yeah, it was just really cool. And then the other side of the basement, the other basement down there.
Yeah, the storage area.
Yeah.
That was much bigger and definitely a lot spookier. So like you open up the doorway to get down those steps and it's just stone.
Yeah.
Like
it's like mortared stone, and it almost feels like I think at one point in time you were joking, like you push against the
yeah,
rocks and it opens up. There's a secret passage or something.
Yeah, what do I say? Like there's some old like satanic ritual site down there,
or like, something like maybe they used it for like the Underground Railroad or something.
Yeah, oh, that's why I said Underground yeah. Railroad. Yeah,
yeah. So,
okay, not to stop what you were just saying, but yeah, very cool downstairs. But Naomi just showed up.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody.
So we were just we finished talking about the whole Ouija board. Sending Mary to the light.
Yeah.
And it flipping your hand around.
Yeah, like all kinds of stuff.
Oh, yeah,
like
the Ouija board thing flew out of your hand.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah,
the planchet flew out of my hand, and I was just talking about how when she left, I just, like, collapsed.
Yeah.
And, of course, the growly Mitch monster.
the wildebeest.
The wildebeest. But, yeah, what are just some quick thoughts from you about your experience there?
Okay. My thought is that I feel like whatever is at the Bardstown is actually connected to Doug. Now, here is why. Doug was out and about, and we had a lot of activity. Like, mm-hmm. we all had feelings like something was around us, and we were all really uncomfortable, and, like, we were getting a lot of, like, psychic intuitive stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Then Doug goes home. Like, and his home is... Oh, I probably shouldn't say where he lives. But Doug goes home, and suddenly it gets pretty quiet.
Yep.
And I'm kind of like, whatever here seems to like Doug.
A lot.
Yeah, and Doug says all the time that there's that woman there that's always around him. And, you know, I just, like, plain out asked her. I was like, is her name Mary? And he was like, it makes sense.
Wow.
And just, you know, the trickster and everything mm-hmm. that messes with him. And, yeah, it is absolutely there. And, you know, he talked about the other owners. They're always like, so the ghosts, huh?
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so they've known since it was Fat Cats, like, that there was something
yeah.
haunted there.
Right.
that you know, we had Fat Cats, Big Dave's, and a couple other things that were there. We know the pharmacy.
A long time ago.
Yeah. But yeah, some of those owners, that's the first thing they say to him when they talk to him. Like, oh, so how about the ghost, huh? So.
I really wonder if it, when it was a pharmacy, if there was a doctor's office attached to it.
Well, that's more than likely. That's,
because at that time, that was pretty
normal. That was a
normal.
Pretty common thing. Even the Whispers Estate, that was part of that.
Well, like my so my grandparents' house that they lived in was built in 1825. Mm-hmm. And one side of their house was a doctor's office, and the other side of the, and then above the doctor's office was a schoolroom.
Interesting.
So it's like an interesting thing to put together. But
while
it was
they're
also,
down there cooking meth, this oh wait, they didn't.
but it was also like way out in the county. So I mean, I could kind of see where that would be the case, and the doctor probably served as the pharmacist at the same time.
Totally.
So
yeah.
And it makes sense, then. Especially with it. You know, just being plantation land before, then a turnpike, and then the buildings
right.
were there. It makes sense that they would have like a big hodgepodge in one day.
Right.
Absolutely. But yeah, we were so thankful to have you there, and just we were talking about you and I being
there.
The psychic ones picking up, but Josh is now a believer.
Yeah. Whoa! High five! Welcome to the party.
The third eye is fully open now.
It's fully open, and we've been referring to the three of us as the triumvirate. So
I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah, let's just go around and find ghosts to help cross over. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Question: did anything follow you guys home?
Nothing. Nope. I always cleanse myself. I mean, make sure the way Josh was shooting white light everywhere. I'm sure he cleansed everybody.
Everything is gone. I had something the first night, but it wasn't anything from the Bardstown. It was actually a family member that came in my dream and was like, girl, you need to be careful. Mm-hmm. So I think they were like, you're playing with things.
Well, so that,
tisky tisky.
So that is interesting. When I went home and went to bed, I did have a dream about my my grandfather who had passed 12 years ago.
Interesting.
So
I never slept.
I've been awake ever since.
I will say since then I have had intense crazy dreams. Some
I have
of them
too.
Bad, some of them okay, but they've been intense. Mm-hmm. I had a dream just the other night. I rescued these two kids from this flood that was inside their home, and then I take them to this like abandoned building just to get up above the water, and there happens to be an axe murderer there.
What?
Who is trying to kill the kids. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the metaphors in there.
No, no more Dr. Pepper before
yeah,
bed
no more
for you.
Dr. Pepper.
No.
So, but yeah, we at this point, and you're welcome to stick around or leave. But at this point, we went down. We're downstairs already. Mm-hmm. We did the basement, and we're in the bar. This
yeah,
is my favorite
this is,
part.
Yeah.
So, like I said, we're pretty sure because Doug went to sleep. Like the activity's gone, but we're
right.
all three at the bar. Not drinking, of course, but we're sitting there and we're just like, if you're here, give
yeah.
us a sign, you know, all the classic nerdy stuff. And all of a sudden, the ice machine drops, it drops ice. And we all just go,
yeah, like, Stefan screams like
I
a little girl.
I fall into Josh's
and
laugh,
I yell. Yeah, it was just crazy.
It was amazing. And what's great is like right before that, we were asking for signs. I was sitting there and I was like, okay. I heard you knock on something. Mm-hmm. Be a little bit louder.
Yeah, we kept hearing tiny little
yeah,
knocks.
Tiny
yeah,
tiny little taps. It's kind of like, boop. So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, be a little bit louder so they can hear you, too. And then that's when it happened.
Yeah.
Boom. Oh, I screamed.
But,
we laughed so hard.
But it dropped. I mean, that it made a big noise several times.
Yeah.
Right.
Right? So, I mean, like, it produced a lot of ice.
Yeah.
But yeah.
What if the ghost was just in the ice machine?
Yeah, maybe.
Just like, all right,
oh,
guys,
there's that movie
get ready
Ghost
for
in the
this.
Machine. It's
yeah.
Ghost in the ice machine.
There it is.
Oh, man. But yeah, we had such a good time. We were just talking about, man, I wish Clint or Mitch had been videotaping
oh, yeah.
the Ouija board
that whole
stuff.
Thing. That would have
the
been...
Ouija board stuff was like literally the best part.
Oh, yeah.
That
they
was
were
really
passed
cool.
out, gone, sleeping.
Pretty
I mean,
much.
We were there till 5:30, so
yeah.
like we were there late.
It didn't even feel like it was late.
No.
Like, it was like a weird time warp.
Yeah, well, because we were so upstairs for so long.
Right.
Yeah.
Just
well,
the
and
attic.
We got there when it was already dark, and it was still dark when we left.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard when it...
Yeah, we didn't get in there until like 11:30 midnight.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
But yeah, it was a really, really, really great time. Like,
yeah.
I had such a good time.
It was
yeah.
fun!
Let's do it again.
Yeah,
we need to.
We will absolutely be doing that again, you know, and go check out the Bardstown. You know, we still got time to talk more, but I'm just... I love... Everything that happened that night was just so much fun, and I wish we had cataloged everything. You know, I'm sad that we didn't get a lot of evidence.
Right.
You yeah. know.
Well, I'm still listening
yeah,
to...
Yeah, we said that. Yeah, you guys are still going through your
right.
stuff.
By the way, I have heard some things on it. Ooh. But I'm going to wait until I can present it to you.
Well, we talked about Clint's, and, you know, we played that, so that little piece is on there.
You know, it actually made even less sense after I talked to Clint, because I thought it was when we were in the green room.
Mm-hmm.
And in the green room, there's... someone lives in there.
Yes.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah.
So we
I think Jim lives in there.
Oh, guaranteed.
Yeah.
Someone's totally in there, but... we didn't actually, like, hear anything or feel anything while it was just me and Clint. So the area where Clint and I felt something was in behind the stage. Because I remember we were walking in there, and I was really uncomfortable.
Right, all four of us walked through there at one point,
Right, but this was when it was just me and Clint. Uh-huh. And we were looking back in there, and we were just kind of sitting there. We were just like, all right, well, if you're back here, make a noise or something. And trying to, like, communicate with it. And we didn't get anything. We didn't get anything. And then that's when the noise happened. I thought it was when we were in the green room, which it could have been Clint in the green room. But no, this was behind the stage.
Yeah,
and we were talking about how if you listen to that clip, you can hear it's a different distance
than
Clint's voice.
It
so,
is.
Like, it's weird.
Yeah, and it sounds like they're... like, who, it's almost like, who are you?
Yeah.
Or Hoosier.
Hoosier is what it,
Uh-oh.
And that was us.
And we are the Hoosiers.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, Clint is not a Hoosier, so it was not about Clint.
No.
And it was, it could be that it had a country accent from being from Kentucky.
Could be, or, I mean, we don't know. I mean, you know, one of the ghosts could have been from across the river, too.
Right.
Right. So.
Nose.
Be like, family.
Who's your nose?
Who's your nose? Absolutely.
Oh, man. What a great, absolute fun time.
Yep.
It was good stuff.
Awesome sauce.
I know some people at the Culbertson Mansion, and I'm going to make it happen.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Just letting you guys know.
Yeah, let's I love the Culbertson
Mansion. I do, too.
And if you any listeners, if you're out there, if you have connections to any normal haunted homes or places like Farmington or any of that stuff, hit us up, give us your connection, let us know. Or if you're those people, hit us up, fearscapepodcast@gmail.com. We would love to come out and not only do a ghost hunt, but just do a story.
Right.
You know, talk about, interview you guys. And
you know, and like we did here today, you know, we do a little bit of history, talk about a little bit about, you know, so it's not just us talking about the ghosts in the area, right? It's us talking about history of whatever the residence is or the building is or whatever, and then talking about our experiences there. So.
Yeah. And also, I wanted to say, since Naomi's here, she's getting ready to drop her album, Lavender and Thieves. So let's quickly talk about that, because I want to play one of your songs on here as well.
We can give you one, a new one to play.
Oh, yeah, I would love that. So I'll introduce it, but I won't know what it is. But yeah, talk to us about the Lavender and Thieves album.
All right, so we got a new album. It's dropping on November 3rd. It's called Solar Plexus, which is one of your chakras, and it's the one that helps you with, like...
Is that Sunday?
This Sunday.
Yeah, so when this airs, it'll have just dropped that day.
Heck yeah, go buy it, people!
Yep.
Woot woot! But it's called Solar Plexus, and, you know, that's your chakra. That's all about confidence, which very meaningful to me, because this is my year of building my confidence, and all the songs were kind of formulated and created for 5 years, like 5 years in the making.
Wow.
And a lot can change and a lot can happen in 5 years, and it's kind of like a roller coaster ride of... you know, grief because we lost a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Anxiety.
Right. I know you have a song, isn't it called Anxiety?
Yeah, it's actually called Anxiety. Mm-hmm. And I wrote it when I was having a panic attack.
Interesting.
So
I would have just been like, because that's what I do when I have my panic attacks.
Well, I cry a bunch and then I'm like, I'm going to write this down.
Yep.
But yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of like a big old journey of the last 5 years of my life and songs that are about it. So it's pretty much just my psyche, guys. So you get a little peek in there.
Yeah. So we're going to play a little clippy do, maybe even the whole song. Here we go.
About whatever, but I get stuck in my mind.
All right, so make sure to check that out. Lavender and Thieves, Solar Plexus is the title. Where can they find this at?
It'll be on Amazon, it'll be on CD Baby, iTunes, and you should be able to listen to it for free on whatever that streaming thing
Spotify?
Is. That's the one.
Yeah. But support your local artists, guys. Yep. Go to CD Baby, right? Is that where they can buy it?
Yeah. They
good.
Give me some money.
And also listen to her show every Wednesday, CHQ Country Roots with the Mountain Mama, Naoma.
Woo-wee!
And of course, she'll be back as she always is. And thank you so much for coming on. And we're
no
going to wrap
problem.
This show up. Let's get out of here. But yeah, thank you to Doug Shuddy and the Bardstown and the entire staff. Those guys all were so like, what do you guys need? What do you guys need? They all have stories. We didn't get them because, you know, most of them are actors and actors are lazy.
Right.
I am one of them. I can say that. But we will, like I said, hopefully have Doug Shuddy on sometime. That'll be really fantastic. But yeah, Bardstown. 1801 Bardstown Road. Go to thebardstown.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can see me perform there every first Saturday and every third Saturday with Improv 502. And yeah, make sure to check out Lavender and Thieves, Solar Plexus. And I guess we got to get out of here. But we got to get our listener story in real quick. So this is another story from Steven Stanek's friend, Joe Alvarez.
Yep.
And so check this out.
Speaking to the elementary school Steven brought up, Steven Stanek. I remember being near the school and seeing people walking through the halls on the weekends. I can remember hanging out under the library window behind some large bushes where we would hang out because, you know, it was shaded all day and it was hidden. And we would hear people talking inside the library. We would pop up and look into the window and all the lights would be off. That's important because these were the kind of lights that had sensors. If someone was in there moving around, they would have come on. We, as kids, would sit and tell stories about the school and whatnot, always, you know, exaggerating. You know, sometimes you do, but as a whole, everyone was slightly different but similar experiences in the area. You know, Steven spoke about a white light, and I immediately got chills. While living in that house, I had a recurring nightmare. I used to wake up with sleep paralysis, constantly. It would take about 40 minutes before I could actually start moving. During some of those times, I would see a white light flooding my house. I could see family floating over their beds while the entire house was completely lit up as if there were spotlights in the ceiling. I've always chalked this up to just being a nightmare until I heard Steven talking about his experience. That was just at my house in the school. I've got more.
All right, this dude has just got the spookiness happening.
Yeah, that's
the spooky-ookie.
The, you know, motion-censored lights that don't come on, but they hear people talking.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know. But yeah, send your stories to fearscapepodcast@gmail.com. We want to hear them. We want to hear them. But we got to get out of here. This has been Stefan, and I will catch you on the flip side.
This has been Josh. The truth is out there.
And Naoma?
I'm Naoma, and I've seen some stuff.
Yeah. And remember, hold those blankets extra tight, and we will catch you guys later.
Good night.
Good night, folks.